Today we are in week two of this series we started last week called The Divine Exchange, where we are looking at the blessings, the privileges that we have as believers in Christ. And this is the second of 5 weeks. When we're done with this, we're going to be jumping into, and it'll be our study throughout the whole summer. We'll be in the book of Revelation, and so looking forward to that. But, you know, in coming to Christ, we are the recipients of the greatest exchange in human history. That this is ours, that we come into this relationship with nothing, and we are given just so much by the Lord. And, you know, last week, I shared with you that analogy, that story of the guy in Las Vegas who spent $45 for a box of negatives that ended up being the lost works of the American landscape photographer Ansel Adams. And so he pays $45, and he ends up being able to sell those negatives for over $2 million. And so that was a great exchange. Well, this week I read another story about a family in upstate New York who picked up this antique bowl set at a garage sale. They paid a few bucks for it. And this set sat in their living room for several years. But after several years, just out of curiosity, they decided to do a little bit of investigation and check the origin of this bowl set. And they found that the bowl set had been crafted by the Northern Song Dynasty, a Chinese dynasty, imperial dynasty, that ruled there in China from 960 to 1279. And so this was a very, very rare bowl set, and it was eventually sold by them to a dealer in London for $2.25 million. Again, I would call that a great exchange. I read about a lady in Huntington Beach, California, who was getting rid of some old stuff, some old clothes at a garage sale, and she sold a jean jacket for $20, but later, a couple days later, realized that she had hidden some diamond earrings in the jean jacket that was worth $18,000, and a diamond ring that was also worth several thousand dollars, and $1,500 in cash. And unfortunately, none of those items were returned. So the lesson in this is get a safe, all right? Don't hide your valuables in clothes that you don't wear. But for the person that bought that jean jacket, that was a great find, right, for them. I mean, that was a great exchange. But here's what I want you to catch. Here's the point of this. The greatest exchange ever was not an accident. It was not a mistake. It happened when God willingly gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to come to this earth and die on a cross to pay the price for the sins of mankind. And Jesus willingly left heaven. He willingly volunteered to be our sacrifice, to take upon himself all of our sin, all of our shame, to take upon himself our pain and the punishment that we deserved, so that anyone and everyone who would put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus upon the cross and his resurrection from the dead, that they could freely receive forgiveness. And they could freely receive of his life and his righteousness and his status before God. That they could freely receive his inheritance and his power and his privilege. And that, my friends, is the divine exchange. It's the greatest exchange of all time. But you know what? The sad thing is many don't partake of the riches and the blessings of that exchange. And some don't even realize the magnitude of the blessings that are ours in Christ. And that's what we're talking about here in this series. And so once again, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 5, this powerful passage where Paul is outlining our connection to Christ, how we have been taken out of Adam You know, we were born into Adam, the first human being, the one who sinned. And with our being born into Adam, we inherited that sin nature that separated us from God. So we have been taken, though, out of Adam, and we have been placed into Christ. But when we come into this relationship with God, we come into it with a major deficit because of our connection to Adam. We've been affected by sin. We've been doomed and damned, but we are given incredible privilege now in Jesus because of our connection to Jesus. Last week, we referred to this as our spiritual benefits package in Christ. And this is what Paul lays out for us in these five verses in Romans chapter 5. Let's look at it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, Paul loves that phrase, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So Paul breaks down in these five verses our spiritual benefits package in Christ in this way, that we have been proclaimed righteous in Christ. That's what's meant by that phrase, justified. And we have peace with God. And we have the privilege of access to God. And we're given this preview of our future. This is what is meant by that phrase, this hope of glory. And then he mentions that we have purpose in our pain and suffering. And then finally, that we have perfect love poured into us. And this is just the start. As he moves into Romans 6, 7, and 8, this benefits package just grows, it expands, and we'll see that in the coming weeks as we get into it. But last week we looked at the first two items in this package, that we have been proclaimed righteous in Christ, that we go from being under condemnation because of our guilt and sin to being declared righteous in God's eyes, covered in the righteousness of Christ. That's the divine exchange. That's a great exchange. And then in benefit number two, he says that we have peace with God. And we looked at this last week as well, that through our connection to Jesus, we go from being enemies of God and at war with God to being at peace with God. That we go from being enemies of God to being a part of his family. And again, that's another great exchange. Today we're going to look at benefit number three, that we have the privilege of access to God. Look at verse one again. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here comes benefit number three, through whom, that's through Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt like an outsider and you really wanted to be an insider? Maybe it was when you were in high school and you just weren't a part of the cool kids group. Or maybe you weren't in the advanced placement, the AP group with all the smart kids. Maybe it wasn't high school, maybe it was in the workplace, that you were a newbie in some company and you get there and you see everybody kind of has their groups and everybody kind of has their cliques, and you're wondering if you're ever going to fit in this company. When I was in high school, I went to a high school that the population of the high school was predominantly African-American, Hispanic, and Samoan. That whites made up only 10% of this, of our school's population. And so that meant that I was the only white guy on our basketball team. And to make matters worse, I was kind of a beach bum. You know, I grew up at the beach surfing and bodyboarding and, you know, that type of thing. And I kind of looked the part, and all the guys that I played on this team with, they kind of had that inner city vibe going on. And so one year I found myself just desperately wanting to fit in and be accepted. And so I started to dress like they did. And this was back in the day when afros were in, and my hair actually doesn't grow long, it grows out, and so I grew my hair out. I actually started picking my hair, if you can believe that. I wear a pick in it, and I was really, you know, I was trying to fit in, and I tried to walk like my teammates and talk like my teammates, but no matter what I did or how I played, nothing seemed to work. I was still an outsider. Well, imagine being an outsider when it comes to faith and connection with God. You know, the Bible says that God picked the Jewish people to be his chosen people. And he picked them not because they were special, but really because they were insignificant and small. And he wanted to show how he was going to, you know, do this incredible work to bless the world through this insignificant group of people, that through this group of people, the Jewish people, he would send a savior. And maybe this is a newsflash for some of you, but Jesus was Jewish, okay? And so God had planned to use this people, and God had set up an elaborate worship system with his people, the Jews, to live in relationship with him. But it was a worship system that was marked by distance. You see, it started with after their exodus from Egypt, as they were in the wilderness time, that God had them set up this thing that was called the tabernacle. The tent of meeting, the place where they would meet with God. And the tabernacle was that tent that the smoke is coming up out of, that sat in the middle of this courtyard area. And in the inside of that tabernacle, it was divided into two rooms. The first room was called the holy place, and that was this area here that they would walk through that curtain and into that area. And that's where the priests would go on a daily basis to offer prayers and to burn incense. But then there was another room beyond a greater veil where the Ark of the Covenant stood. And that was the place that the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. And these two rooms, the holy place was the first room, and the Holy of Holies was the second room. They were separated by a giant veil. It was 30 feet wide, to give you an idea of what that is. That's about the same size as this screen from one end to the other. So it was 30 feet wide, 60 feet high, and rabbinical scholars believe that it was about the span of a hand in its thickness. So it was about 4 inches thick, this giant curtain. And this giant curtain stood as a wall between God and his people, because although the priest could go into the holy place on a daily basis, there was only one priest, the high priest, who was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and that was only on one day of the year. One day out of the year, the Day of Atonement, he would go in, and only after he had offered up sacrifice for the people of Israel, and he would bring the blood of the sacrificial lamb to sprinkle there on the holy place. And so this whole system that God set up was one that spoke of distance. Now, if you can put up that other picture. So in the tabernacle picture that was surrounded by this fence, if you were a Gentile and you came riding up on your horse and you see this, you know, smoke coming out of this tent and this big fence around this area, and you said, you know, hey, what is that? And some Jewish person said to you, well, that's the tabernacle. This is where we get to meet with God. And if he were to say, that sounds amazing, can I go in and meet your God? You would answer no. In fact, he would be told, not only can you not go in, but the women, sorry ladies, they couldn't go in either. And only a Jewish man was allowed to go through the fence, and only into this courtyard area. He could go as far as that altar there where he would bring the sacrifice, and he would lay his hand upon the head of that sacrifice, and it was symbolic that all of his sins and all the sins of his family were being transferred to this innocent victim. This innocent lamb that would be sacrificed, and the priest would kill that lamb and put it on that altar, and they'd take the blood and they'd go to that basin, that little, you know, brass basin, they'd wash their hands and they would go in and offer up prayers for the people. And so this whole system was set up by God. And it was what Israel used. It's how they met with God for over 500 years until David came on the scene. And when David comes on the scene, he gets this idea, I want to build God a temple. And so in the temple, it was a little bit better. In the temple situation, I have a diagram for this as well. There was actually an outer court that went around the whole temple that was called the court of the Gentiles. And so if you were a Gentile, that's where you could go to pray and meet with the God of Israel. And then there was another inner court called the court of the women. And this is where ladies could go. It's bigger because ladies are more spiritual than men most of the time. And so the ladies, that's where they could go and they could pray and meet with God. And then there was this other court called the court of Israel. And that's where men would bring their sacrifice to meet with the priest. And then the priest would take that into the area where it was going to be, you know, given for sacrifice for their sins. And so this whole situation was set up by God. And it was a system, a setup of distance, but it was still better than what the pagans had. Because in the pagan world, their idols, their gods, the idols of stone and wood, they couldn't know them. They couldn't have relationship with them. They lived in fear of them. But God set up this system where his people could come and meet with him. And in the temple, the temple area was also divided, if you see over there, between the holy place and the holy of holies. And it was separated by this giant veil. It was so big and so thick, it took 300 priests to hang it. And again, only one priest, the high priest, was able to go into holy of holies. Only one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. In fact, it got to be such a radical and such a serious thing that they would tie a rope around the high priest's ankle that had bells on it. And when he would go into the Holy of Holies to go and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and meet with God, the other priests, some of them would be in the holy place waiting for him to come out. And if they stopped hearing the bells moving and jingling, they knew that he had sin in his life and when he went in there and that he was struck dead there on the spot. It was a serious thing, a serious endeavor. Now, I want to put this in kind of a modern day vernacular. And let's pretend that our church building here is the temple. So if this was the temple, how many of you here are not Jewish? Raise your hand, okay? That's most of us here. All of us who are not Jewish, is the closest we could come into the temple would be right outside the doors of the church, out by the parking lot, you know, the entryway there. That's where we could come to worship God and meet with God. If you were a Jewish woman, you could go into the lobby there where it says simply Jesus. That's as far as you could go. You could come into that area, pray, and meet with God. If you were a Jewish man, you could come into this area behind the glass here of the sanctuary that we call the foyer, and you could come into that area to meet with the priest, to give him your sacrifice. But all of these glasses, the glass windows, they'd be blackened so that you couldn't see in here. Where you're sitting, this would be the holy place. This is where the priests would come in on a daily basis, and they would pray, and they would burn incense. And then up here on the stage, this would be the Holy of Holies. But it would be separated by this giant veil, this giant wall of separation that only the high priest could enter into, only that one day out of the year. How many of us would even want to do that? I mean, if that was the experience, if that was your church experience, okay, I get to come and hang out in the parking lot today for, you know, an hour. That was the experience that you had. I mean, it was crazy. So the whole thing, God was marking, and he was setting up just the seriousness that sinners could not directly approach him because he was holy. But this whole system was also meant to illustrate the wonder and the magnitude and the beauty of what would come when Jesus came. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Remember when John announced him, when he, you know, came on the scene and John pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when Jesus died on the cross and he was hanging there, he cried out, "It is finished." And when he did that in that temple that was there in Jerusalem, that giant veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, it was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and God reaches down out of heaven and he rips that thing in two. And it was his way of signaling that now it was open house. That now through Christ, there was access into his presence. How amazing is that? You see, when Jesus took all of our sin and shame and punishment upon himself, we got an access card with our name on it into the Holy of Holies. That's the divine exchange. That's a great exchange. And this is what Paul means when he says here that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, the word access is used of somebody bringing someone else into the presence of a king. In fact, the Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest said that the word was used of a man who secured an audience with the king and brought another man properly attired before the king. Because if you're going to have an audience with a king, you got to dress right. You just can't show up in jeans and a t-shirt. You know, you had to be properly attired. And so the one man who had the access that's bringing the other man would make sure that this man was properly attired. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. You see, Jesus made a way for people whose attire was dirty and marred because of our sin to be cleansed, and so that we could now be robed in his righteousness. This is what Paul has in mind when he writes in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read it to you. It'll be on the screen. He says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus made a way where we could have access before God. That middle wall of separation, that veil has been ripped in two. But guys, listen to this. It's not just access, it's also privilege. You see, John, the Apostle John, he writes these words in John chapter 1. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right." Everybody say rights. "To become children of God, and to those who believe in his name." The word right is exousia in the Greek, and it speaks of a legal term, and it means giving power and authority and privilege to do something. So when you put these two ideas together, it's telling us that we have the privilege and we have the authority of coming into God's presence now as his kids. As his family. Think of it this way. Besides my wife and I, there are only four people who have a key to the front door of my house. My mother and my three adult kids. Why do they have kids or keys? Because they are family. John is saying here that we have been given this access card into God's presence because we who have believed in Jesus are now family. That we are now sons and daughters of God. And that is why the writer of Hebrews writes to encourage us to not just come into God's presence, but to come boldly. He puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here's what he's telling us, that Jesus is the great high priest, our high priest, and because he walked in our shoes, he can sympathize with us. Because he was a human being like you and I. He lived in a body like yours, that he was tempted like you and I are, but he never sinned. But he understands the struggles of living in this human body that we go with. And so he's a high priest that can sympathize with us. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore, because of that, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are to come boldly knowing that you are welcome. We're to come boldly knowing that Jesus, our high priest, understands our struggles. And to come boldly also means that we are to come with a sense of expectation. And here's the question, what are we expecting when we come? What's waiting for us at the throne of God? Is it wrath? Is it judgment? Is it condemnation? Is it disdain because of our failures? No, what does the writer say? We come to receive grace and mercy to help in our time of need. Paul here in Romans chapter 5 calls it the grace in which we stand. Literally translated, that we can stand firmly. That we can stand securely, that we can stand in confidence, knowing that we are welcome, get this, not because of our goodness, but because of the goodness of Jesus, and because we have been placed in him. But it gets even better than that. Guys, we're not just invited to come boldly, we're invited to come daily. We're told in the book of Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every single morning. That means you cannot wear them out. That means that when you show up before God, you never hear, "You again?" No, we're invited to come before our God, whose steadfast love never ceases. So you can come. Even when your clothes are a little dirty and muddy, even when life has stained you this week, because of failure and sin, you can come to receive grace and mercy to help in your time of need because his mercies are new every single morning. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Guys, this is glorious. This is amazing. But it gets even better. We don't just come boldly. We just don't come daily. Or when we have needs, but we get to come and enjoy relationship with God. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, that God is faithful and you were called by him into fellowship, relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word fellowship means to share in common. And so we share in common because of our connection to Jesus and our relationship to Jesus, we share in common the access that Jesus has. We share in common the relationship that Jesus has with the Father, that Jesus was the beloved Son, and you and I are now beloved sons and daughters of God in Christ. And so we get to come to enjoy relationship, fellowship with God. Through Jesus Christ, the Apostle John put it this way in 1 John chapter 1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen, and we saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. And we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things to you so that you may fully share in our joy. John is saying, we're writing these things about Jesus because we want everyone to experience the joy of knowing God, the joy of living in relationship with God. And if you don't know that joy, if you don't have that relationship with God, I want to encourage you today to open up your heart, to enter into that relationship with God. And before we're done today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. So Jesus creates this access. He opens the door into relationship with God. You know, one of my favorite times of the week is Saturday afternoon. I usually spend Saturday mornings up until about noon doing my final sermon prep for the message here on Sunday. But then in the afternoon, my grandson Josiah comes over and I hang out with him. It's what we call boys' day. And so we'll hang out, we'll go to the park, we'll go get ice cream, we'll go do something, we'll go to the tool store. I've introduced him to Home Depot. And so we have a fun time together doing that. But, you know, if Josiah only wanted to hang out with me so he could get some ice cream, that would be sad. But he actually, he loves Boys' Day. He enjoys that time where he calls me Poppy. Him and Poppy, we can hang out together. But here's the thing. He's 6 years old. So we don't have any real stimulating conversation. His attention span's about this big. His interests are very, very little, but I love being with him. I love just hanging out with him. That's how God feels about you. That's his heart towards you. Your heavenly Father, who is so far beyond, you know, our comprehension, so far, you know, beyond our limited knowledge and resources, but your heavenly Father loves to be with you. He loves to spend time with you. He loves having you in his presence. And get this, he's not turned off whatsoever by your needs, by your burdens, or by your problems. In fact, Peter would write these words in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares. God is never, ever burdened when you bring your cares to him. And that word, to cast, it's a demonstrative word. It's like, God, I'm throwing this to you. I'm giving this to you. I'm taking all this weight that I'm carrying. And Lord, I want to put it on your shoulders now. That's what that word cast means. You know, years ago, I was doing a memorial service for a guy in the military down at the cemetery in San Diego. And, you know, when you're doing a memorial service for anybody, you as a pastor, you never, ever want to be late. But you for sure don't want to be late to a military memorial service because it's the military and they have guns. So, you know, you don't want to be late. But you guys know how crazy the traffic can be on I-5, you know, going south. And, you know, without traffic, 40 minutes you can get there. With traffic, it can take an hour and a half. Well, on this particular Friday, I'm on the freeway, and the traffic is just crawling. And I'm getting worried, like, oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be late. I can't be late to this military funeral. And I get in the fast lane, and I'm behind this car, and I notice the car in front of me. It's covered. Now, this is like in the late 90s, and this car is covered with Christian bumper stickers. It's like this guy was still living in the 70s, you know? His car's covered. Like, he's a radical, you know, Christian fanatic guy by his car standard, at least, right? Well, every single time that the traffic would stop, I'd see through the back of his, you know, windshield, I'd see this guy go like this. And the traffic would start moving again. And it would stop, and then he would go like this. And it would start moving again. I started doing it too. You know? Like every time, like, you know, made it there on time. But that's the idea. Like, God, I'm giving this to you. God, I want you to have this. Lord, I'm putting my burdens upon you. But here's the key. When you cast your burdens upon the Lord, you got to leave them there. Because here's what a lot of us do. We throw down our burdens. God, here's my problem. Here's this, that. And then we say amen. And we pick up that backpack, put it back on our shoulders, and we walk out. And God's like going, look, I want to work, but you got to leave it here. You got to leave it here. And God is not weighted down by your burdens and cares, but he loves to carry them because he loves and he cares so much about you. So guys, we have access. Jesus has opened the door to access into God's presence where we can come boldly, knowing that we are welcome, that we can come daily to receive his mercy. His mercies that are new every single morning, that we can come and cast our burdens upon him. And we are invited to come and experience relationship with him. Now, here's the question as I wrap this up. How many of you are regularly taking advantage of the privilege and access that you have in Christ? How many of you are coming daily for relationship with God? How many of you are coming confessing your sins so that you can receive forgiveness and take advantage of those mercies that are new every single morning? How many of you are coming, bringing your needs and laying down your burdens rather than carrying them your own, on your own? And how many of you are coming boldly to receive his grace and help in time of need? You know, I wonder how many of us are like those bulls that sat in that apartment in upstate New York for many, many years. You see, there was a wealth that was attached to those bulls that just needed to be tapped into, that just needed to be appropriated. Is that a picture of your relationship with God? That God has all this for you, but you continue to try to do everything on your own and don't appropriate the blessings that are yours in Christ. Have you appropriated the access to God and his grace and mercy that is available to you through Jesus? Have you entered into that relationship with God that is available for you because Jesus opened up the door? The veil was rent. Are you still an outsider when Jesus wants you to come and be an insider? Or are you an insider? You've given your life to Jesus, but you still live like an outsider. Like you come in all timid and like you don't belong. I hope that changes for you today.